from Hollywood. Loreen Tuttle in The Unexpected.
The Unexpected.
The Unexpected. Life is filled with the unexpected, romantic, tragic, and mysterious endings to our most ordinary actions. Dreams come true, or dreams are shattered by sudden twists of fate in The Unexpected. But first, a word from your announcer. Tuttle, outstanding radio and screen star in Sweet 16, a drama of the unexpected.
I hate them, and I hope they suffer forever and forever. I don't care if Mother locks me up here in this attic without supper. I'll still say it, I hate them. And I always will hate them for what they did to me. It's Mother's fault, too. She could have married Ted Stanton. He has lots of money. I don't love you, Ted. That's what she said. I sneaked down the stairs and heard her say it. Love. I'd marry a man I couldn't stand if it would mean getting away from this awful house and my awful family. But not Mother. She has her pride. So why should I feel sorry for her? And the only reason she sent me to live with the Colburns was because she wanted to get rid of me. Of course, she pretended it was for my own good.
The Corbins have a lovely home, Janie, and I'm sure you'll be very happy there.
And I'm sure that you'll be very happy to be rid of me for a month, too.
Oh, Janie, you shouldn't say things like that.
Well, it's true anyway. You just want to get me out of your hair for a month. That's why you planned this whole visit to Maine, isn't it?
No, of course not. I'll miss you very much. But things haven't been too easy for me, Jane.
And you have 7 kids, and you have to work to support them, and you can't afford to send me to summer camp like the rest of the girls in my class. So I have to go and stay with your stuffy old friends in Maine.
Helen Corbin is not old. In fact, she's quite a bit younger than I am.
Well?
Janie, sometimes I wonder.
You just don't love me. You don't love me anymore.
Oh.
Well, I'll bet you aren't even my real mother the way you act to me.
All right, Janie, let's forget about the whole thing. You don't have to stay with the Corbins if you don't want to.
And I can go to summer camp? Can I, Mother, huh?
I didn't say that. You know very well I can't possibly spend that kind of money when your sister needs new clothes.
You could do it if you wanted to. Everyone can wear my old dresses.
Well, we'll see. Oh, of course, the Corbins are very wealthy and know a lot of interesting people. Mr. Corbin produces plays, and since you always wanted to be an actress when you grow up, well, I thought you might enjoy yourself. But under the circumstances...
Oh, never mind, Mother. I'll go. I'll go to the Corbins, all right. You can stop worrying. Can't be any worse than spending the summer in this dump. Nothing could be worse than this dump. The Corbins had a nice house, all right. It wasn't very big, but it sat all by itself on a little spit of land sticking out into the bay. It had a high-peaked roof, and it looked clean and pretty. There were lots of flowers around. I could hear the waves beating against the rocks below as I walked up the path and knocked on the weather-beaten door. Mrs. Corbin answered the door. No butler, no maid. She came herself. Right then I began to get suspicious. She looked pretty enough for an elderly woman. She must have been 36 or 37, but she was well-preserved and her voice sounded almost young.
Yes?
I'm Janie Klinger.
Oh, hello, Janie. Why didn't you let us know you were coming today? I'd have met you at the station.
I didn't expect to be met. I can find my way around.
Well, come inside, dear, and I'll show you to your room. Here, let me help you with your suitcase.
I'll bring it.
Oh, all right. Walter, my husband, is out on the lake sailing. He'll be in for dinner, though, and you'll meet him then.
I see.
And that's it, Jenny, just the three of us. We've closed our house in town, and I didn't bring up any of the servants. I thought it'd be more fun to do our own cooking and take care of things ourselves, sort of like a camping out.
I wouldn't know. I've never been on a camping trip.
Oh, that's too bad, but maybe we can make up for that this summer.
Maybe, Mrs. Carvin. Maybe. Just like camping out. We didn't bring any servants. No, they didn't need to. They had me to do all the work. That was what they wanted me to visit them for, so I'd be a free maid. Why, the first night after dinner when Mrs. Carvin, or Aunt Helen, as she wanted to be called, was washing the dishes, she shoved a damp towel at me and said,
"Here, Janie, suppose you dry and then we'll get done faster."
And the next day, when Uncle Walter was driving into town, he remarked, just casually, of course,
"What say you come on in with me, Janie? You can buy the groceries from Mrs. Carvin, and we could have lunch in a little place down by the wharf. Make a lark out of it. What do you say?"
Yeah, just a lark, so I could do their shopping for them. Be a servant for them. I hated him, and I hated her. And the most of all, I hated the way they lived. If the Carvins had had kids, they'd go to camps and to Europe and to nice finishing schools. But me, I'd never be anything but dirt under their feet. Somebody from a dingy house who they could get to work up in the country for nothing. Just because they called it a vacation. I hated them for weeks. And then I decided to get even. If I could never be happy, if I could never have the things that they did, I'd see that they didn't enjoy them either. I'd fix them. So one evening when Aunt Helen went to bed early, I sat and watched Uncle Walter doing a crossword puzzle.
About time for you to be asleep, isn't it, Janie?
No, not yet, Uncle Walter. I'm not tired.
Well, all right. I guess a few minutes more won't make any difference.
Gee, you're swell. Thanks.
Thank you, Janie. I'm glad you like being with us.
Oh, I like you, Uncle Walter.
Mm-hmm. And Helen, you like her, don't you?
Well, she's different from you, Uncle Walter. Whenever you're not here, she hardly pays any attention to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's nice enough in her way, but she has other things to talk about.
Other things?
Oh, sure. All the letters she writes and the long-distance phone calls to New York. Who's Tony, Uncle Walter?
Tony Abbott, an old friend of ours.
I see.
He called yesterday afternoon, Helen told me.
What sort of a person is he?
Actor. Nice chap. Why?
No, I just wondered. Aunt Helen sent me outside while she talked to him. Why did she do that, Uncle Walter?
I haven't any idea.
Uncle Walter pretended that he didn't know what I was talking about. But he did, really. And I kept pounding away at him for the next 2 days. Tony Abbott, Tony Abbott, Tony Abbott. He began to look worried and tired. And when the phone rang several nights later, he grabbed it and told the person on the other end that Mrs. Carvin wasn't home, even though she was standing right beside him. They had a fight. It was the first time they'd quarreled since I'd been with them. And the argument went on after I'd gone to bed. I could hear the shouting in the bedroom until 3 a.m. They didn't speak to each other at breakfast except about how the egg should be fixed. When Uncle Walter left for the village, Aunt Helen didn't kiss him goodbye. So, I decided that the time had come for me to have a heart-to-heart talk with her, too. And Helen?
Yes, dear?
I couldn't help hearing you and Uncle Walter last night.
Oh, I'm sorry we disturbed you.
Oh, I didn't mind that. I just hoped you weren't quarreling about me.
About you?
Yes, I thought maybe you found out.
Well?
Oh, nothing, Aunt Helen. Just forget it.
What might I have found out about?
Well, I don't think it really meant anything. I'm sorry I mentioned it.
Go ahead, Janie.
Well, I suppose you ought to know. Maybe I should have told you before when it happened. But I just couldn't. I was too ashamed.
Ashamed?
Yes. Remember last week, the night you went to bed early?
Yes.
I stayed downstairs with Uncle Walter, and I was feeling a little homesick. And I thought he was just being nice and fatherly,
oh,
but...
Janie, no.
He kissed me. And, well, it wasn't a fatherly kiss. I had to slap him and push him away. And I felt all sick inside, and I wanted to leave you both. But he made me promise not to and said he'd never touch me again. And he hasn't, Aunt Helen. He's kept his word. So you'll forgive him, won't you?
No, Janie. I won't forgive him. Not ever.
That same afternoon, Aunt Helen packed her suitcase and left for Reno. When Uncle Walter read her note, he called Mother to come up and take me home. And then he got drunk. Very drunk. Served them right, both of them. That's what they got for treating me like a servant. And they're not going to be happy anymore, and all their money won't make them happy. They're going to get a divorce. And I'm glad. I'm so very glad.
You think the story is over, don't you? But wait. Fate takes a hand. Wait for the unexpected. For the surprising conclusion of Sweet 16, starring Loreen Tuttle, a Hamilton Whitney production written by Robert Libbett and Frank Burt and directed by Frank K. Danzig.
So that's what happened to the Carvins. And it's their fault and Mother's. They could have said something. Mother didn't need to wait until supper tonight before she explained.
Well, Janie, it's too bad about Helen and Walter.
Is it?
Well, at least from your point of view.
What do you mean?
Didn't they tell you?
Tell me what?
Well, they'd been thinking about a divorce, and Helen felt maybe it was because they didn't have any children. So she arranged for you to spend the summer with them. If it had worked out, they'd have taken you to live with them permanently. And you'd have had servants and trips abroad and college. Everything a girl could hope for.
You mean they were planning to keep me as their own daughter?
Of course. Didn't they ever tell you, Janie?
Sweet 16 starred Loreen Tuttle. Listen soon for another of your favorite motion picture stars in a drama of the unexpected. This program was transcribed in Hollywood.